Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
And there's some things that are A-plot material.
Like, a whole ass baby is not a B-plot.
A whole ass baby is not a B-plot.
Hello, and welcome to the 10th episode of Season 5 of Your Mom's Podcast, the only podcast that's worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Caroline.
I'm Avis.
And today we're discussing Degrassi, Season 5, Episode 13, Together Forever. Roses are red. Flying solo, Craig could go far. Liberty's water breaks. In Toby's Bubby's car. Downtown Sasquatch has a spot at an upcoming showcase, and Craig is sure it's going to launch their career. He's not wrong. They're approached by a manager pretty much the second they step off stage. Trouble is, he's really only interested in Craig. Over in the B-plot, Liberty gives birth, and we're finally getting Liberty's pregnancy from Liberty's perspective. Just kidding. We're going to find out how this whole thing has been affecting Toby.
Oh my gosh. I'm just so fucking done with the fact that a whole ass child is born in the B plot. And it is less important. It is less important somehow. You know why? Because they actually spent time on Craig's entire musical arc.
Yeah.
It means more. Not because it actually means more. Just means more to the story. Because that is what they've spent time on. Which is annoying.
Which is annoying. And especially, like, I feel like all of this has influence on JT dying. Spoiler alert. You know, and like just where he's at in his life and all of that. And like, I don't know. It's a whole ass person being born in the B plot. It has really been primarily in the B plot of this season. And at no point in the B plot or the A plot have we gotten 1 ounce of the mother's perspective.
No, she just, and it's a montage. The birth isn't a fucking montage.
Right, with Craig singing.
We don't even get her in labor. Get her water breaking, and then the baby just coming out all clean. She looks sad, but she doesn't look like she's just pushed a person out of her body.
Right, she doesn't look like she's just made a decision that.
Right, because we completely gloss over the fact that she was not 100% sure about what she was going to do.
Right.
But it doesn't fucking matter.
It got decided for her when JT started hanging out with Jay.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, I'm going to give the baby up.
Second relationship Jay Hogarth has ruined for Liberty.
I bet he's keeping a tally. I'm obviously we've lamented every time that we have to talk about the fact that Liberty's pregnant.
I'm actually happy to talk about something else because it's so uneventful for the show. It is more about JT. It's way more about JT. It's way more about Toby. It's way more about Danny than it ever is about Liberty.
It's a really weird storyline, I feel like.
Explaining it to our moms was like the dumbest shit ever. And they literally don't explain anything about how the mother is feeling. Your mom's like, roughly like, well, that's fucking stupid.
Liberty, those stickers are coming.
They are. We're doing another. That'll definitely be, because last time we did like a con line. I think we'll do a little bit, maybe more of a refined vibe with that. But
there are way more F Them Kids coming too.
That is a series. That is a bona fide series now, and we've already established some more members of that club. So
yeah.
But it's like, at least now Liberty is not pregnant. We could talk about other things, except nothing ever, like the next thing that happens to her.
Is she sad because her baby is getting moved further away?
Mm-hmm.
They're moving to like Washington or something.
Yeah. It's like, if you're going to have a character go through something like this, at least give it more respect, because it's something traumatizing to go through.
It literally feels like giving away your child. We need a strong B plot throughout the series, but we're like, it's just the other thing that's happening. Something needs to be happening in the grade 10s. Or are they 11s now?
They're 11s now because, they're 11s. I think that we were talking about before how the B plots, they were not holding up in terms of like the intensity of the A plots in earlier seasons, and they've gotten good at that. But I think there are some things that are B plot material and there are some things that are A plot material.
Like, a whole ass baby is not a B plot.
A whole ass baby is not a B plot. I just feel it's like it does a disservice to not only the storyline that you've been building up, because they do spend like a fraction of time on it. So why not at least bump Craig to the B plot? Did you need to spend that much time on Ellie's whack ass drum playing?
You gave Manny's abortion 2 episodes.
You gave Manny's
and fucking center.
You did. And that was good. But it feels like, okay, well, we have to tackle abortion with the horns. We need to be aggressive and decisive about our depiction of abortion on this show. But you're like, oh, we've already done a teen pregnancy. It's fine. Like, no. No.
And it's very different from like the like way spoiler alert, but in next class, when is it Lola gets pregnant?
Yes.
And she's just like, I don't want to have this baby. And then boom, done. Right? And it's a very inconsequential thing to a degree.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was good in a way that this is not.
The quality is not there. It feels very cheap. And it feels like, okay, because we have Hatzilakos being like, oh, your baby's due, Liberty. I'm just concerned about you, Liberty.
Hatzilakos so hard. I hate that bitch.
I don't believe this bitch for a fucking moment. She don't give a fuck about Liberty. She don't give a fuck about that baby. She said, fuck you and that baby too, Liberty. Like, it's so insincere.
She said, JT told me how he feels about it. I don't really give a fuck how you feel about it.
Your opinion is irrelevant. Literally, you are just an incubator.
I hate it so much.
Yeah. Because, like, Toby has been on the sidelines this whole time. Like, it's fine to have Toby as, I like Toby playing off of Liberty. I like him saying, you know, I got your back and not just because I'm your VP or whatever. Okay. You're your vice. Okay.
but have it be about Liberty and not fucking Toby's Bubby's car. Like,
right.
We spend more lines talking about Toby's Bubby's car than Liberty's feelings about her pregnancy. She is more concerned with going to this. And I mean, her lines are more about the damn, the assembly that she wants to go to.
Call 911, but don't make a big deal about it.
Like, ma'am.
I love Liberty.
I noted that Bubby's vehicle is all kind of busted. There was a sound that sounded like a baby crying, and I don't know if that was intentionally, like, it was, like, subliminal. They're like, throw a fucking baby crying in there. Let's fuck them up. I swear I heard a baby crying in that motor. In the issues, the cacophony of issues that fucking car was having.
It was the time.
You were riding that shit, and I mean, and to be fair, I know that car had like 300,000 miles on it. Like, that car was fucking, like, driven.
You know what? I'm annoyed. We should have gotten Toby and Liberty to begin with.
They make more sense.
They make so much more sense. Toby would be so much better.
Toby would be so much better for her. Toby would use a condom correctly.
Right?
Like, let's just be real.
Toby wouldn't Toby's have been asking... pressuring her to have sex.
Toby would not have been pressuring her to have sex. And Liberty does not get blackholed. So they could actually have a relationship.
But instead they just have this, like, ill-fated kiss right after JT dies. God, I hate it.
Fuck I hate you. It, and it ruins anything that they could have. I hate it too. I hate it. I think that it's just very telling of, like, what the show wants versus what would make sense with the characters. What would actually be, like, for honestly, the show does not want us to have much investment in Liberty and JT. We don't even see them getting to, like, we see cute moments somewhat, but, like, over the summer where their relationship really formed and everything, we don't see.
Right.
All that shit happened over the summer.
Right. And then she gets pregnant.
Right.
And it all falls apart, or steals drugs and tries to kill himself. And
it's just for the drama. That's what their relationship is for.
Right. Like, it doesn't matter until right before he dies, he realizes he's in love with Liberty.
And then he can't even really say it. He uses the fucking the spicy sub and the oatmeal.
And it's just like, it pisses me off because, like, I know she's fictional, but, like, they traumatized this poor girl for
nothing. It's really for nothing because, like, if we have talked about JT so much, does he have, like, emotional, like, intelligence? In some situations, definitely. He is a good guy in some situations, but I don't think that he is anywhere on par with Toby and what we've seen and what Toby is supposed to be.
Like, it's so frustrating to watch, like, Toby fight against, like, baby incel Toby, who's not even incel anymore.
And it sucks because that's all they're giving Toby to do.
Well, no, but he's a good friend of Liberty.
In the background, like, that's what they're giving Toby to do in the background is like giving us these little things of his personality that make us, like, turned off to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't be a leading guy. He can't, like, date anybody, like, and not be a nuisance, you know? Like, he's like the perpetual little brother, Toby. He never escapes that. Like, nobody wants to date him. Whereas JT goes to be dateable and goes to date.
I would have totally had Mia. A crush on Toby. If Toby was at my high school.
He's adorable and he's a nice guy. And I think he's the guy that, like, you can be friends with and not feel like he's going to, like, fuck zone you.
Right.
JT is giving fuck zone all the way vibes. He is a good guy when the situation benefits him or he feels bad.
Yeah.
He's not a great, and like, he just eventually starts to see that Liberty is a number one, a good person, a good friend. And he's attracted to her, her personality.
Right.
Because he's made it clear that he doesn't find her hot. That's why he's chasing after Paige and everything. Not to say that he's not being a little boy about it, but like, she's not the type that he was falling for.
Yeah, no, that's very fair.
I think that like Toby, like them having Toby have the crush on Emma kind of was supposed to make it not be possible for him and Liberty. But I think you could have, after that whole Sean thing and he hugged her and everything and their whole, that dynamic died and he resigned to just being her friend, he could start pining after Liberty from afar. And like, it be a secret. I would buy that. I don't need build up to know, to have a character be like, I've always like liked you in secret or whatever.
Yeah.
And that would be a very cute storyline. And that is what Liberty deserves. She does not deserve to get knocked up over some dumb shit that I don't even believe she would allow. I don't believe she would allow him to use two condoms unless that shit happened in the dark.
It wasn't two condoms. It was a king-size condom.
I'm thinking of that Asher Ross song. Sorry. A king-size condom. She would not allow that to happen.
No.
And not even that she can't be a kid who makes a mistake. I think she's just way too much of a control freak for that shit.
But, okay. And she has always been recklessly into JT.
Well, fucking clearly.
Like, I don't know, the same little control freak that vandalized a locker as she screamed, fun enough for you.
Yeah, that happened. No, we can't help who we're attracted to. Obviously.
I don't necessarily like, I like to think that Liberty is better than that. But it's JT.
I mean, it is JT, and obviously he's got that whole,
and she wouldn't want to hurt his feelings. Talking down. And she wouldn't want to run him off.
Ugh, nobody has ever died from hurt feelings.
Nobody has ever died from hurt feelings, and I don't know, girls are taught not to hurt boys' feelings.
Yeah, the politeness shit. Being polite is fucking exhausting.
Yes.
Just saying. Being polite all the time when you just want to say, fuck you. I'm definitely not disputing that, those factors. It's more just, I wish that the show had the courage to make pairings based off of what makes sense and the well-being of characters. But obviously part of being an adolescent is doing shit that's when your fucking frontal lobe will not be developed for a number of years and you're just riding off of sugar and adrenaline. I don't know. I can't put myself back in that headspace enough to not, because I was a very, especially when it came to sex and penises, I was very control freak. Like I didn't start having sex until I was 18, but prior to that, I was like, penises, no pregnancy. No, I don't know. Like, I was Googling obsessively, can you get pregnant from pre-cum? And, you know, maybe. And I didn't like that answer. And fucking like that
answer. Not a good answer.
It's not a good fuck. It's not reassuring. Okay.
No. I mean, which I guess is good.
It is good. But for my brain, then I'm like, okay, I'm not getting pregnant. I'm just not. Because my mom's not going to murder me that way. So I have to, like, I just avoided the dick, to be honest. I feel like that would have been more Liberty's reaction, to be like super like cautious. But if you're into somebody, I was never into somebody in high school like that. I was never into somebody.
No, you've got to think like Liberty has been into JT for as long as we have known her. She has embarrassed herself for JT. She has gotten herself in trouble for JT. She has taken his abuse and come back around like a sick little puppy for JT. And so even though she's this fucking brilliant badass.
Yeah. Love makes you do dumb shit.
JT, you know, I think JT got caught up in the moment of rebellion that he didn't even, like, fucking stand behind. He got dragged into. And something started, and then Liberty was just kind of willing to do whatever to keep JT because he's this thing she's always wanted. And so by the time it got to him being like, let's use the king size condom, she's like, well, I don't want to be like, no, and have him think I'm calling his penis small, and then he's upset, and then he breaks up with me. She was holding on way too tight to something that wasn't worth having. And I think it does, and this is why it makes me mad that we don't get the Liberty of it all. Because, like, I think that's why she shuts down the way that she does.
Yeah.
When she thinks she's pregnant. Because this can't be what's just happened. She can't have actually, like, been so reckless and thrown away potentially her entire future.
Right. Yeah.
For this guy that would compromise her well-being for his ego.
Yeah, it's literally for his, yeah. Oh my gosh, JT is kind. When you break it down like that, and I mean, I don't even think you have to break it down all the way like that, but specifically when you break it down like that, JT sucks. He is the worst. He is not a good, he's not a considerate guy.
He didn't deserve to get stabbed and die in the street in like a puddle of his enemy's piss.
Right.
And Liberty's arms. Like, nobody deserves that. But the fact that he died this tragic death just will never redeem him for me. Yes, his death is sad. I'll probably cry when we get there.
Yeah. And but it's also because it's a character that we've known for 6 seasons at that point. Right. So I'm going to cry.
Who's still a kid.
Who's still a kid and he dies in such a tragic way.
But like, JT sucks. He sucks.
He's not. I really do feel like people just love him because he died. And that's not, and I know that's not a controversial enough thing. And I feel like other people have said it and gone on a whole tangents about it. I don't think that I need to do that. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. If he had gone on, he would not be people's favorite character like he is.
He has his moments, you know.
He does.
We love him in Paige's assault storyline.
Mm-hmm.
He's funny sometimes, but like, he's pretty consistently shitty. He's not a good friend to Toby. He's not a good boyfriend to Manny.
No. He's really, yeah, he proves himself to be like self-serving. He is out for JT most of the time, and he puts on his arrogance when he gets ready. He wears his insecurities on his sleeve. He is very much like, he has that the Napoleon complex, except it's about his dick.
And yeah, I don't think I'd ever thought it out to quite that degree before, but like, he put Liberty's well-being at risk for his ego.
For his ego.
He knew he did not need
a king-size condom. Right.
Like, Craig literally probably doesn't even need a king-size condom.
Because Craig is still a kid. They're still children.
Like, why are we...
I don't... Yeah, like, it's... Come on, you're a teenager. It's 100% about your ego. It's got to be. I just find it pretty difficult to sit through people blowing like the smoke up JT's ass, posthumous. I read it phonetically.
Yeah,
posthumous. All of these accolades that he gets when he is no longer here. But it's like when anybody dies, oh, they were a great person. This person was a bitch. Yeah. I want everybody to tell the truth. You should not approach Avis before like 10 a.m.
Most days. You're not JT.
I'm not JT, but JT is supposed to be a normal boy. He's supposed to be a normal guy. I don't think that people who love him really think about his character deeply.
I mean, but he is just a normal boy. Like, he's a teenage boy. And all of this is so fucking shitty. And he's just a dumb teenage boy. Like, he's not.
Would we hope that he
hurt Liberty? He's just 16, 17 years old.
And I'm sure that the maliciousness was not there, but his ego being involved is disgusting.
His ego being involved is disgusting, but also completely on track with teenage boys, I feel like.
It is. He's we can't judge him as anything but a teenage boy because he doesn't get to go on and come back to the show.
And
Peter or other characters who get that redeeming, I guess if you could call it that.
It's not like I'm just like, JT's a piece of shit. But I think that of what we get of JT, the sum of his parts, I don't really like
him. I don't like him. Yeah.
I don't want him. It sucks that he died.
It does.
I'm not for that.
That whole thing was not necessary. It was dumb. Whenever I see it, I'm like, oh gosh. It's also the cast is not the same when he's gone. The ripple effects, and I think that that's another thing that the ripple effects that JT's death has are massive. It affects everybody. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we might not see everybody's reaction, but the violence and all of that, even in the most indirect way, affects everybody.
Right.
It's literally the reason when their schools combine that there's animosity and all of that. And you didn't even have to be going to Degrassi at the time that that happened to feel those repercussions. But at the same time, and I think that's why his death is bigger than him, obviously. But had he gone on, I'm sure he would have developed into a slightly better version of himself. I would have hoped.
Yeah. I'm sure he would have. And it's a shame he doesn't get the chance.
He doesn't get the chance, but I don't think that he deserves to be for the fact that he was a jerk to be erased from his memory. I think it does a disservice to him. We need to remember people as the people that they were and not try to make them martyrs and gods and all of that.
Exactly. Especially when they're fictional teenagers.
When they're fictional fucking teenagers. We get it.
We can give some grace to real teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
We give a lot of grace to these fictional teenagers.
We do. I think it extends to the real kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. Don't have enough of them around to know that, you know, the kids I interact with stop at around 11. Like to keep it that way, because teenagers slightly scare me.
Are you 30 yet?
I am.
Okay. I stopped being afraid of middle schoolers when I turned 30.
Middle schoolers, yeah, I'm not fucking afraid of middle schoolers. I'm talking about high schoolers.
High schoolers than middle schoolers?
No, well, so middle schoolers are
evil.
they're evil, but there's the evilness that they're still connected to childhood. So they still have that somewhat excitement. You can still engage them with certain things. That's high right. schoolers will hiss at you from under a hood. And like also probably curse you out leaving the classroom. And what are you going to do? If you can curse better than me, I'm not going to do shit. As long as you don't put your hands on me. If you out curse me, what the fuck can I do? Like, these kids stress me out. Some of these teenagers are very much like, they look older than I do. Just by like some of the things that they wear. And like, at least the teenagers that I see on the street, like going to walking from school and stuff. I'm like, y'all look like y'all middle aged. With the skincare routines and the extensions and the hair and like the outfits. And I'm always in sweatpants. And I'm like, I don't know. I get one of my kids calls me a teenager. And he's like, I don't have to listen to you because you're just a teenager. And I'm like, is it because I wear a backpack? Because listen, that backpack, you fit a lot of stuff in there. You can't call me a teenager because I wear a backpack. I don't know. It feels like maybe because the teenagers are dressing differently than I ever did and like looking like they're just completely othered.
Are you at least in like stature and perception of your stature, the Janine Teets of your after school and before school care program?
I'll have to ask people that. I feel like it's an honor to be called the Janine Teeks.
Also, I'm just noticing how long your hair's getting, and I love it.
Isn't it getting long? I have to get a retwist. S is like, you need to get your hair retwisted.
Are you going to just keep growing it out?
Yeah, I'm not going to cut it.
I love that.
Oh yeah, my I don't God. Plan to cut it until it's up my ass, literally. So,
what season of your mom's podcast do you think we'll be on?
Hopefully, we'll like at least be like in next class by that time.
Yeah, I guess
I feel we've got a
long time to grow.
We have to suffer through boiling point, dude. That hump like is gonna take us out. That's a lot of material. That's going to take us so... We've been breezing through these 22 episode seasons.
We have been.
And I love that for us because we know what's coming. We know we got a big storm. It is going to be fine. And it's going to be the funniest thing if we're like having a fucking ball. Like, bring it on, boiling point. And we don't give a fuck.
We'll see what happens.
We'll
see. It could be
pain. It could be pleasure. It could be a little bit of column A, column B. Who knows? But I feel like the fact that there's an A plot that is, for me, this inconsequential over a B plot that, for me, is way more consequential. It's like, I don't want to talk about this fucking A plot.
Okay, but we have to.
I know. And I actually like the A plot. That's what's the problem.
It's a good A plot. Ellie
that could have been a
they're
B plot.
Mean to Ellie a lot. I like that.
They are mean to Ellie, but of course you have to admit that they make her drumming worse
mm-hmm.
for this episode because we have heard her play the wedding. We have heard her play in practice. She never sounds like that.
Yeah.
They have even played a similar like funk song. So you can't say it's like the genre of music because they do hop around between a whole bunch of shit. But the song they played at the wedding is very similar to the song that they played at the showcase. So why is she drumming like she just got drumsticks last week?
So that we can have Manny walk in on her and Craig being like...
It's so fucking dumb, okay? It's the dumbest thing to me. I feel like it's cheap because why do we need... If you had did this in reverse, okay, I could understand that. But it's been established that Ellie can drum at least to function... Like, she can functionally drum.
She's not struggling with keeping time.
Right.
Which is something that you need to function as a drummer. So what the fuck, A-plot? Are we that stupid that you think that you can just, that you can hammer it on the head that Ellie's a bad drummer when we've seen evidence to the contrary? And you're wasting my time with not one, but two horrible performances on Ellie's part. Instead of focusing on Liberty having an entire child coming out of her fucking birth canal.
A whole ass human being. Just
like, you could have cut that scene. You could have cut one of them. You could have cut it all. Okay? And the shit would have still ended up the same. Like, do I like that Ellie convinces him or empowers Craig to go out there on his own? Of course. Could they have cut the fucking fat?
Yes.
Yes. Like, this shit could have been a B plot. You could have cut a lot of the shit with the her not drumming well, because it doesn't need to, you don't need to have that, oh, let's demean her for being a chick on sticks, because she's been carrying the band. She's been doing quite well. Like, you could have cut the whole chicken sticks. You could have still had the manager come in and be skeptical about the band. And then Ellie be like, okay, we're not going because we're not throwing away our senior year. Like, Marco don't fuck with this like that. Jimmy, question mark, wants to paint, question mark, question mark. Does Jimmy really want to paint, though? does he want to paint, or does he want to, I don't know. Does he want to draw?
He wants to art.
He wants to art. That is enough of a reason for her to encourage him to go off on his own.
I love that Craig, though, is willing to throw away his shot at a career for Ellie and her mediocre drumming.
It is. It's giving, I'm unhinged right now, and I'm looking for someone to cling to, because I too have issues that are not necessarily of the codependency variety, but I need to not be left. And you're, like, one of the only people that, like, leaving would apply to being left. Like, if you go to college or something and I go my separate ways, we've left each other. And I don't want to do that. I cannot do this without you.
I can do it without my girlfriend, Manny.
I can do it without my girlfriend, Manny.
But I cannot
do it without you. God. Like, can we talk about Joey, like, having flashbacks when he's like, hey, Manny's on the phone for you. He's like, tell her I'm doing homework. And he's like, oh, really? Like, that look like homework. Like, Joey is like,
seriously, Craig.
Serious. We just, like, another fucking love triangle. Like, have you not learned your lesson? And
I'm
Craig's
gonna
say
around forever, son.
Truly, my time is limited. I'm on borrowed fucking time. I am gonna be disappearing from this plot or from this fucking show post haste. Like, he really does just not exist anymore.
He's just gone.
He's just gone. Now Snake has nowhere to go. Snake has no couch to crash on. Yeah, for me, you could have definitely just taken out the chicks and sticks, because it's dumb, serves no purpose, and you could literally remove it, and everything would be the same.
Yeah. Or, like, why aren't we hearing about Manny at all in this?
Manny's...
Like, she's just
she's
riding...
She's just in the bag, having a mentee bitch, trying to fucking put on a brave face. She looks so fucking sad.
Stealing herself for the drive back with Joey.
Wait, that is the most awkward drive back. Oh. She's just trying not to fucking cry. Oh no, she's full on sobbing, because there's no way she kept it together at the airport. So she's full on sobbing in the passenger seat now, because she can't leave. She can't be in the back. She's got to sit up front with Joey. And Joey is just so terrible at these situations, and is like, I need help.
100% at some point makes her sing "Everybody Wants Something" with him.
Like, hey, do you know this one?
Like, she's like, yeah, unfortunately I do, Joey. Let's sing it.
You play it at every fucking function. Every time you have to close out every band practice with it. Like, please stop.
Yeah. That
makes her mixtapes and Joey slips it.
just slips a track in there, literally. Oh my gosh. I don't understand the choices. So it's like, let's spend a bunch of time, because it's more important to tie up Ellie and Craig. We don't give a fuck about Ellie and Manny and Craig. We just
We're going to reuse the shot of them kissing on Emma's porch in a nightgown.
Who pitched that? Someone was like, let's just reuse that shot.
It's
It's okay. Who's gonna know? Everybody knows. It's very clearly that shot. You couldn't have shot like anything of like them before they got in the, I don't know, anything. Them kissing before they got in the car.
No, apparently not.
Any of the numerous things that they've supposedly done together as a couple. Craig's taking me to see a band. It's like, I don't know. It feels rude to Manny.
It's so rude to Manny. This whole episode is rude to Manny.
She's like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? She can drum just fine.
Right.
Do you have to hold her like that?
The theme from Ghost plays in the background.
Oh my gosh. I can't. She's like, Craig, I've seen this movie. I know how it ends. I can't with this situation. It's so dumb.
It's fine. Craig's gonna go off and make music, which is beautiful for him.
And discover the cocaine,
but like, it happens.
I mean, cocaine happens, clearly. Yeah. I just think that, like, perhaps Manny should have been given at least other things to say that weren't what she said.
She deserved better than that awkward ride back with Joey.
Yeah, that too. Just, you want to come to the airport with me? No, because I don't want to ride back with your stepdad. That's weird. I don't want to ride back with him. I don't like him.
Well, and like, he couldn't have sat in the back seat with Manny.
No, because he had to do that cool hop into the passenger seat. And he couldn't do it in the back seat.
Hop into the back seat.
You could, but then he would have hopped on Manny because she's got to be sitting there because they got to be putting the camera when they drive away. They're on the hood. I always envision some guy riding on the hood of the car. But I think it's more like a dolly, like the camera's hanging there. But you can't see Manny as she's behind one of the seats. So yeah. You got to put her in the middle, which is not how people sit in cars. I personally refuse to sit in the middle because it has a weird hump.
Okay, but you could have put Manny behind Joey. Have Craig hop into the back passenger seat. Manny scoots over into Craig's arms. Boom. She's in the middle. You can see Craig because he's tall as fuck.
That would have been cute, and Joey would have been the taxi driver.
Mm-hmm.
Chauffeur. And also, do they not have to get on the freeway or the highway to go to the airport? Because as a former convertible owner, you don't really want to be... I didn't really fuck with being on the highway with my convertible. Like, I
really?
Did it. I did it. But, like, if I want to go, like, fucking 80, hell no. Because I'm, first of all, you don't go as fast with your top down.
Yeah.
You're catching all that wind, and that's kind of partially the point. It's kind of a vibe. But... No, I usually would put that joint up if I'm trying to go gadget, you know?
I mean, that's valid, but...
Joey does not have hair, and he does not care about Manny's.
There's other things. I really do like the conversation that Ellie and Craig have. I think that's the role that she was supposed to play all along for him, is like being that push that he needs to stand on his own. Because he's literally the only one that gives a fuck about Vancouver. Like, Jimmy already checked the fuck out and was like, Vancouver, this, like, on Sunday? Oh, no, I'm not doing that shit.
Like, no, Jimmy's not trying to do that. Marco's not trying to do that. Ellie would do that. But they don't want Ellie because she can't keep time.
Ellie would consider doing that because what the fuck is she doing?
If she could get Craig alone for a summer, maybe she could get him to see that she's the girl for him.
You're just the girl I'm looking for. That song, please.
Which song is that?
Cause she's bittersweet. She knocks me off of my feet. And I can't help myself. I don't want anyone else. She's a the Click Five, I think that is.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I think that song probably plays on a fucking loop. Ellie said. She's just like, if only you could see that it was me all along. It was me all along, Craig. Except it wasn't, because he's literally told you that.
Right. You've seen him at his darkest. You see him in Brew.
Yeah. He already had one girlfriend who smothered him with her fucking concern. Does not want another. No, thank you.
No, thank you.
And let's face it, they work better as friends. They do.
I did have in my notes when Manny walks in on them drumming, LOL, Manny's just jealous.
Sorry. It's funny because it's true. No, yeah, the all fucking dacity. It's like the shiny thing can be dangled in your fucking face, you dick. Like, he does not. The fact that he's willing to throw away his shot literally has fuck all to do with Ellie in particular.
Yeah.
Like, he really doesn't care about her that much. Like, as a friend, but, like,
that's the thing, is he does, like, she is his, like, security blanket friend this point.
How many security blankets does one person need?
I mean, at least one if he's going to go on tour and not get addicted to cocaine.
Yeah, maybe he does need a little bit of supervision. That's Joey's fault.
That Craig got addicted to cocaine?
That he just sent him the fuck out there without no supervision. You know what? It would make sense for Joey's character to go with Craig. But no, he's going to stay with his fucking, like, dead-end used car lot that ceases to be of importance anyway.
Well, no, he leaves soon.
Does he? Oh, right, he sells his house and goes to Alberta, is it?
Whatever. Something like that. Calgary.
That might be Calgary, yeah. But, like, why not make it about Craig? I don't know. It just, like, Craig is just, like, running off, and he was so against him doing basically the same thing.
Right, except this is a million times worse.
This is...
It's just still in the country.
It's just literally... It's just the music industry. And you're just giving your fucking vulnerable 18-year-old...
bipolar son.
No
recently,
supervision.
Like, diagnosed within the last year.
Right, has been known to go off his meds when he thinks everything's going great.
It's fine.
He'll be okay. Sure. Except he won't be.
No.
Don't do coke, kids. I truly forgot what this episode covered. No. I truly forgot this episode occurred and struggled to remember the plot. It's one of my notes here. So...
I think we talked about it like way off mic earlier last week, this week. I guess it's Friday, isn't it? Earlier this week. That Leo, the music manager, makes an appearance in season 2 of the LA Complex.
Yes. I was like, small world. Except that is also a show produced by the Degrassi folk. So they're like picking from the same pool. The Canadian pool of actors is only so big.
What did we think of Craig's songs this episode? I didn't hate them. I never hate Craig's songs. The lyrics for the funky one were not that great.
No, the lyrics for the daughter and the broom, the hopper and the groom, the stopper and the broom. So
I liked the song that they closed out the episode with.
I do too, yes.
It felt like something Craig would have written, particularly the Mama Gone Missing.
Yes, Papa Gone Mad.
I was like,
me too, yes. Those were the lyrics that stuck out to me too. I rewound it multiple times because I love how he sings that. I do think that it's a very Craig song. The melody and everything, I like it, but it's one of those songs where it's like, I'd have to listen. Like, the reason why I like it is because I've heard it so many times, but the first time I heard it, and kind of every time I hear it for the first time, I'm like, it sounds, I think the word is like discordant. Like, it doesn't sound like it should work together. Like, the melody will come together, but it does. And it's like, the boy, his guitar, he good. He does a good job. I always have to remind myself, this is not the performance where he, his nose bleeds. Because the framing is so fucking similar. But no, I like the ending song. Like I said, the daughter and the group, whatever that, like, that's the only... That's that, like, little whatever, just, but and I don't know the actual lyrics, so I just substitute the dumbest shit. I'm gonna miss Craig and his fucking moody ass giving us a soundtrack. But yeah, no, two good songs. And I think that it's probably safe to say he wouldn't have been able to play that song with Downtown Sasquatch anyway, because there need be no accompaniment, you know, like that is a stripped song that it really highlights his vocals. And I do think, of course, it's the beginning of his like solo era and his solo attitude. Because that is one thing that stands out about what the manager said is like, he's like, I'm all about the band. And he's like, well, now the band is all about you. And like, of course, I like that he's like, wait, no, this is, I'm about the band. But then he's like, well, I guess that is kind of cool for the band to be all about me. You know, like he gets a little bit of a indication on what it could be if it was just him. Which goes quickly to his head.
But, like, honestly, I'm okay with it. Craig is a talented musician. Craig is good as a solo.
It's a natural progression, yeah. He's got the humbleness, and he's been so humble for a long time. And I do think that's one of the things where Ellie's like, you don't have to be humble. You have, like, we are baggage. Like, you are holding on to us because it's comfortable, it's safe, but ultimately it was always you. You were the reason why we worked. You were the one who really wanted to do this shit. And you are the one who really can do this shit. It's like, it's a very good pep talk. It's very, like, you've got to go on, blah, blah, blah. So,
Yeah, and I do. I'll comment on it in the fashion corner. I'll save that.
Do you want to head there?
Yes. Let us ferry on over to the fashion corner. Let me get my stuff. Because I don't think that I really had a super amount. I think the one thing I wanted to talk about, which is kind of what I was saving for the fashion corner, is the straight backs. Marco straight backs are terrible. And it's not like they are done badly. I just think it's like his latest push into like...
It's not a good look on him.
The culture, like, it is literally giving, I am all about the ethnic happenings. It's not a good look for him.
Sit down, you are Italian.
Sit down, sir. You are indeed Italian. Yeah, no, that's a big one. I think the outfit that I don't mind the most from Marco is the one that he's wearing in the band shoot. But it's not great. I owned multiple of those jackets, and I still somehow can't let that style of jacket go with the collar. But it's, again, it's not great.
So... My first one is, I really actually like Craig's t-shirt when he's giving his history presentation. Mm-hmm. It's just like a black t-shirt with this spooky looking white band on it.
Hmm.
And he's wearing like a leather cuff on his wrist. I don't know. It's very 2000s teenage boy, but like with a stylist, you know?
Yeah.
And I also liked Ellie's outfit in history class. It was like a, almost like a boat neck.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got her silver ring necklace on. And I don't know, she looks really cute this season.
Yeah, her style is definitely one of the best this season, girl-wise. One of the worst this season, unfortunately, is Liberty. They have literally bounced her back to overalls. And she's wearing flip-flops with it.
The flip-flops I hated, but the overalls I didn't hate.
I think that they are not like...
It was an upgrade from how she was dressing while she was hiding the pregnancy.
It's an upgrade from how she was dressing when she was hiding the pregnancy. It just definitely reminds me of when she was still a grade 8 or grade 9.
Yeah, but pregnant ladies of all ages wear overalls.
I know. It's just more, it's like a style that she has worn before.
That's valid.
And even the way she styles it looks like how she used to style it. It's not bad, like her hair is an improvement, but no, it's definitely, I realized I caught somebody in the back doing like an epic hair flip.
Nice.
Yeah, it's the flip-flops that set it off as being, like, an absolutely not. But I do remember that flip-flops were, like, the Crocs of today. You could throw flip-flops on with anything. And yeah, you would most likely not get fucked up. You know, like, flip-flops with formal wear was not unheard of. It was actually, like, way too common an occurrence. So I'm not gonna, like, but the flip-flops are offensive to me at from now. Like, I don't like it.
Yeah, that's the flip-flops are something. I love that Manny is very much this episode, like, the t-shirt that she wears out to the showcase is clearly an Emma t-shirt. It's like a yoga pose happening.
Yeah.
And then when she catches them in the garage.
Yeah, I love that outfit. Playing
drums. It's so an Emma shirt, though. You know what I mean? Like.
Mm-hmm. I like the pants that she has with it. And of course she's wearing flip-flops. But she's got these like canary, well, kind of like a pale, but like more like a pale yellow, like capri pant. And I hate capris historically, but these are not like terrible.
They're not terrible. It's cute. It works. She's making Emma's wardrobe work for her.
Spoiler and this is alert, shit that Emma's
actually
not
a pair of Emma's shorts.
I'm done. Not the shorts. Speaking of Liberty, I like the jean dress that she's wearing to the assembly.
I liked that too.
I had several of these. And I rocked them all. Some of them with boots, because I think that that's a great combo. But, of course, she is wearing flip-flops.
We wore a lot of flip-flops back then.
I know we did. And it's okay, except when it's not. But no, it's cute. She's got her hair in little, like, ponytails, low pigtails. Her hair is just saving all of these horrible outfits.
Can we talk about the Pop and Jimmy's singular collar?
We can,
and
because
Marco's
it's
t-shirt in the goodbye scene.
Oh my god. Yeah. The collars, what, and like the ill-tailored suit that Jimmy is wearing at the photo shoot, because boy is it ill-tailored, and the collar is starched. It's like Jimmy and Ellie are dressed like business casual, like, but with jeans, because I don't know that they I'm not wearing ripped jeans if I'm thinking business casual. That's not quite there. But Ellie's like little tied shirt, or okay, so it's actually one of those little mini vests that had a tie, but it's like the same color as the underlay shirt, so it looks like it's on one long tunic type thing, like a coat, but it's actually like three pieces, three layers. They're just all very dumb.
I was talking about the scene where they say goodbye to Craig.
Oh, I see it. Oh my gosh. Yes.
And yeah. Marco's t-shirt. Yeah. And then Jimmy's collar is yet again ridiculous. But his shirt's all like wrinkly.
I'm going to give Jimmy like a fashion penalty for that entire collar shirt situation. You are penalized, because what the fuck is that?
It's so popped, but it's wrinkled.
He took the time to iron his collar, but not the shirt.
No, the collar is wrinkled.
The collar is, oh, it does have a crease in it, but then what is it, starched? He just starched it?
I don't know what he did. And then what is Marco's t-shirt that, one, looks really uncomfortable to wear?
Offensive and oddly colored.
It's like a very thick gold on it that, like, yeah, is not gonna give me much give. I don't like it.
I don't like it either. They're all wearing like the leather cuff that Craig is wearing. Every time I see these cuffs, I'm like, I know that they were popular. I'm not gonna attribute everything to Twilight, but the fact that they had Edward and others wear these leather cuffs with the Cullen seal on it for the first movie, and then abruptly they stopped it for the subsequent movies, tells me how they were, these movies were steeped in like wannabe pop or wannabe emo, like emo culture, because, or like rocker culture. And I mean this one, this like thick leather, it just looks exactly like what they had him wear. Did he wear a different one in the outfit you said you really liked in class?
Let's see.
Because I want to know if he has, like, coordinating cuffs. That would be beautiful.
Jesus. Need to go through these photos. No, it's the same one, I think.
Okay. Have to shout out Manny once again wearing one of Emma's bright ass t-shirts.
In the back of Joey's convertible.
Yes, in the back of Joey's convertible. And of course, this one does not look as good as the other one she styled because she's fucking sad. This one is just not, she looks sad, she looks distraught, like, yeah. She's literally, like, he's smiling. He's having a grand old time. And she's, like, looking off all dubiously, yeah. Like, I am just having probably a spiral back, like, I am just spiraling back here.
She's probably cold.
She is probably cold. She's like, I wish you guys put the top up. Before we got on the freeway.
Sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't. I don't think I have any more. I did like, actually, I did like Ellie's outfit when she goes into the dot when they meet with the dude. Manager, she's got like a rolled up white long sleeve t-shirt over this black short sleeve t-shirt. It's got a bunch of writing, but what stood out to me was the like rose, mm-hmm. the like roses looking pattern. And then she has a mini skirt and tights under it that. Of course, stop at her calf. And then she has tall socks and or boots. They could be boots, but they look too tall to be boots. They look like they're coming up just under her calf. I don't think that they're boots. I think that she's wearing boots with tall socks. And I actually really like this outfit because I probably would still wear it. This is single-handedly how I dressed in most of like high school. I loved me a mini skirt leggings combo. A mini skirt and leggings hated to see me coming. And just the t-shirt layering is a classic look, definitely. But, yeah, I think that is it for me.
On to shots fired.
Pew, 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 pew.
Shots fired.
Yes, I have 6.
I have 10.
Okay. I can start.
Okay.
I have Jimmy with, so Ellie, you're really taking next year off to follow Craig around or whatever?
Oh, I started with Jimmy saying, and thus Craig fails history.
Yeah. Why does he have so many zingers? My next one is in that same conversation. Gavin, what's this little number? Is this a copy of you and Darcy singing Jesus Loves Me?
I have Manny saying of Money Money, which is a real band according mm-hmm. to the credits.
Yes.
Okay, they're good, but their ties make me want to strangle them.
Yes. Same. I have the moment where Craig tries to introduce the band to the manager dude.
Yeah. He says this is.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah. Gotcha.
I have you're a chick on sticks. You can sell it from back there.
Yes. Yep.
And then the follow up.
Yes.
Of Ellie when she gets to the dot and sits at another table like a petulant child and goes, chick on sticks is going to sell it from over here, yo.
Yes. Yep. That was my last one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It is okay.
You paused long enough that it felt like you wanted me to take it.
I did pause because I didn't know what you were going to say. I didn't want to talk over you, but it's okay.
To jump back into it, I have Leo saying Ref's going to hold you back, especially around the drumming.
Mm-hmm.
And I have Liberty saying, I'm calling a cab. Don't expect a ride because traitors have to walk.
Which you just got in his damn car.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I guess so. Do we want to do Super Bummers or Shining Stars?
Oh, gosh. Let's start with Super Bummers, I guess.
Yeah. Save the best for last. JT.
JT.
Toby.
Yep.
Honestly, Craig. I know.
Yeah, Craig was like steady trying to throw away his future.
He's like, a full ride scholarship. No thanks. I'm good. I'm just gonna chase this dude who I met in a bar the other night. I'm just gonna do what he says to do for next summer. The fuck? Yeah, bum me the fuck out. I mean, is that?
Yeah, did anybody shine? Did anybody shine?
I want to give it to Manny for not beating a bitch's ass in the street.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Sorry.
But no, like, that's kind of the closest feel thing. Like I'm not... Liberty's not a super bummer, but she definitely didn't shine.
Right, exactly. That's how I feel about Liberty as well.
She should have, but they didn't let her.
They really didn't let
Liberty shine. She would shine too bright.
Shine bright like a diamond. Yeah, no, it's not. She definitely isn't there, but she's not on the other side either. I have to just... And Manny, for not beating a bitch's ass in the street. I like that Ellie stood up and told Craig what he needed so that he went and did what he wanted to do with his future.
Right.
But she also annoys me. So it's not like one of it, it cancels out. The annoyances that I have with her this episode are canceled out somewhat by her encouraging Craig and being a good friend to him and ignoring her own codependence, tingling. But that doesn't mean she's a shining star for me. It doesn't go quite that high, you know? And Marco's definitely not, because he played little to no role, and those fucking cornrows are a crime.
Yeah, nobody... Manny shines for not beating a bitch's ass.
Mm-hmm.
And for agreeing to take that awkward ride back with Joey so she could take Craig to the airport.
Right. Sorry. No, actually... Took one for the team. Yeah, I think that's it, honestly. I don't... These bitches was all over the place.
Does it go there?
Does it go there?
I mean, you would think so because an actual child is born.
But it doesn't.
But it doesn't. It doesn't. It does not. It doesn't. No. No.
Yeah, this episode just kind of made me mad.
Yeah.
It was probably not good for my blood pressure.
Piss me off, eh? I don't know what that was.
It was a thing.
It was a thing. It was.
Nobody was harmed by it, so like...
Well, that's good. I don't want to harm anybody by my weird-ass fucking accents. Thanks for listening to Your Mom's Podcast. Join us next week to see if Spinner will slip back into his homophobic ways in Eye Against Eye. This episode of Your Mom's Podcast is made possible in part by the Northern Sound Showcase, teen pregnancy, and support from listeners like you. Reading was hard just now.
We would like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers. Tay,
Evie,
Miranda,
and an extra special thank you to our Titty Snake producers, Alika,
Brandy,
Chelsea,
Corey,
and Tawny.
Thank you guys. Love you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Padcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Padcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon, and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-padcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast. P-A-H-D-C-A-S-T. Thank you.